Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 75, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Shayasam iha sarvesham, Gyanam nishreha samparam, Sukham tarati dushparam, Gyana norvyasanarvnavam. Translation. In this material world, there are different types of achievement, but of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest because one can cross the ocean of essence only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. Purport. Actually, everyone is suffering within the material world due to ignorance. Every day we see that a person without knowledge commits some criminal act and is later arrested and punished, despite the fact that he actually may not have been conscious of his sinful activity. Such ignorance prevails throughout the world. People do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex, kill animals to satisfy their tongue, enjoy intoxication, and gamble. It is very regrettable that the leaders of the world do not know of the effects of these sinful activities. They are instead taking things very easily and are succeeding in making the ocean of Neshats wider and wider. Opposed to such ignorance, full knowledge is the greatest achievement within this world. We can practically see that one who has sufficient knowledge is saved from many dangerous pitfalls in life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate. When one actually becomes wise, quote, when one actually becomes wise, he understands, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unquote. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. Such a great soul is very rarely to be found. This Krishna conscious movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. The greatest danger is the danger of getting a body lower than that of a human being. It was with great difficulty that we attained this human form of life just to take advantage of this body and reestablish our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Lord Shiva advises, however, that those who take advantage of his prayers will very soon become devotees of Lord Vasudeva, and thus will be able to cross the ocean of nescience and make life perfect. Om agyana timiram nisya gyananjana shakaya chakshun militam dena tasmaya shri guruve namaha. We're nearing the end of the 24th chapter, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. And the entire chapter has been many prayers sung by Lord Shiva in glorification of Lord Krishna. So taking this verse into that in that context, the knowledge spoken of is transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is the greatest achievement within the material world. In the modern society, there's so much knowledge to be gained. Of course, we have the universities where we can study health, medicine, social sciences, engineering, philosophy, education, all these things, but we see that everybody's gradually becoming more and more animalistic and bringing themselves to hell, is it not? I mean, where can you go in the world that there's no sinful activity happening? Srila Prabhupada says here, people do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex life, kill animals to satisfy their tongues, enjoy intoxication and gambling. Everywhere in the world, every city that you go, every tiny town, there's sinful activity happening. Even here in Durbuy, such a small place, you think of very, very peaceful, rolling hills, forests everywhere. But just walk up the road and you see hundreds of cows waiting in the field to be killed and eaten. So even in such a, you would consider this a pious birth to be born in such a nice area. But even in such a place, it's tainted with blood and violence. And, of course, the government, they sanction all these things. The government people themselves are attached to such sinful activity. But even if they wanted to stop it, things such as cigarettes, tobacco, the beer companies, alcohol, the sex industry, the meat industry, all these are great sources of income for the government. So how could they stop it even if they wanted to? Right? They wouldn't be able to. It seems practically that the the whole situation has to be totally reversed, or it can't even be reversed. It can't be put back into the backwards motion. It has to be kind of, the basis has to be destroyed. Anyways, I don't want to go into that. But as Srila Prabhupada says here, that we're, this Krishna conscious movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance, and thus save them from many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. That's one of the purposes of our Krishna conscious movement, to educate the society at large. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, he's quoted it twice in the last two purports, the verse yesterday and today. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva saramiti samahatma sudurlava. After many, many births and deaths, a wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything. Such a great soul is very rare. So Krishna is saying in this there's a series of four verses in the seventh chapter. And the first one is Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritin Arjuna Arto Jigyasa Artarti Gyani Shabaratashiva. There's four types of pious people who come to surrender to me, come perform devotional service. That's the Arta Jigyasa Artarti. Arta is the person who's suffering, who's in misery. Jigyasa, that's the one who's inquisitive. Artarti, the one who wants material benefit. And then the Gyani, that's the one who's seeking absolute knowledge. And then he says, Tesham Gyani Nitti Yukta Ekabhaktya Vishishyate Priyohi Gyani No Tyartam Aham Sachamama Priya. That person who comes to me with full knowledge and surrenders, he is most dear to me. Udara Sarva Evaite Gyani Tatmaiva Mematam Asita Sahi Yuktatma Mam Eva Nuktamam Gatim. Undoubtedly, all these souls who come to Krishna, all these people who come to me out of desire, out of performing devotional service, they're all magnanimous souls. But that person who performs devotional service only, he is just like myself. And then this verse comes, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. That after many, many births, a person of full knowledge, he surrenders to Krishna. So knowledge is stressed here, that the person who has full knowledge and performs devotional service, he is most dear, right? But then the question might be raised, if we perform devotional service, what's the point of acquiring knowledge? Why should we endeavor for knowledge if we're performing devotional service? We've heard that there's this verse that one who performs devotional service, he's known to have already gone through all of the Vedic sacrifices, all of the processes of Dharma. He studied all the Shastras. So if one's chanting the holy name, performing devotional service like this, why should he endeavor for knowledge? An answer to this, we can look to a verse in the Bhagavatam. First canto, second chapter, seventh verse. It's Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Gyana Chayata Hoitikam. That when one performs Bhakti Yoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, knowledge and renunciation follow causelessly. So in this sense, when one performs devotional service, automatically you attain knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that devotional service without knowledge and renunciation isn't complete. Although devotional service is itself the perfection, knowledge and renunciation have to follow, and specifically knowledge. Knowledge and devotional service have to go hand in hand. If we don't acquire knowledge and we try to perform devotional service, then we'll have more difficulty than we need have. Because we surrender to Krishna, we perform devotional service, but when we come to Krishna consciousness, we're coming with impure hearts. A person may ask, well, why should I encounter difficulty in devotional service? It's the perfection of activity. No, devotional service is perfect, but the heart is impure. So you may try and perform devotional service without encountering any difficulties, but the difficulties are themselves within our own heart. So there's no getting around it. We're going to experience difficulty, and we should expect it, and we should meet it when it comes. And if we have knowledge, transcendental knowledge, then we can deal with these problems and not be swayed in our faith. Otherwise, a person who has faith in devotional service and Krishna consciousness but who has no knowledge, he's very easily shaken. That's described as the neophyte, the Kanishtha Adhikari. He has faith in the Shastra and in the devotees and in Krishna, but he's not very learned. Therefore, when a person comes to create an argument with him and debate with him, he loses the debate because of lack of knowledge, and his faith is shaken. So we have to acquire knowledge in order to protect our bhakti lata bij, the devotional creeper. Also, it becomes something like sahajyaism, prakriti sahajyas. They perform devotional service with great faith and enthusiasm, but they don't have knowledge of the shastras. They don't know what's right, what's wrong. Right? If we don't know what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, what's illusion, what's real and what's unreal, how will we possibly protect ourselves from the onslaughts of Maya? Maya is always, or of course, what I mentioned before, that the problems are within our own heart, but in that way that Maya is always attacking us. So how can we possibly withstand these attacks if we don't know, if we don't have any knowledge? If we're in a certain situation, tested by the sense objects, we'll undoubtedly fail those tests if we don't have the proper knowledge, because the faith may be there, but it's weak. It's not backed up by knowledge. And this point I'm making is stated both in today's verse and in the Bhagavad Gita, the verses which I quoted. The 17th verse of the 7th chapter, Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta. So of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. And in the last sentence of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, he who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. And then today's verse, Srila Prabhupada says, we can practically see that one who has sufficient knowledge is saved from many dangerous pitfalls in life. So knowledge is stressed all throughout the Shastras. And again, we have a verse from the Ishopanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bhayam saha. Avidyaya mrityum tirthva vidyaya mrityum ashnute. The one who is able to learn the process of nescience and the process of transcendence simultaneously, hand in hand, then only he is able to cross over the ocean of birth and death and attain the nectar of immortality. So people, certain devotees have come up to me and they've told me what the meaning of this verse is, that you should be able to go to school, right? Get your education and get your degree, and at the same time perform devotional service. That's what this verse means. You have to be able to go to college, you have to be able to get your mundane education, at the same time perform devotional service. But that's not the real purport of the verse. That's incorrect. The real import of the verse is that one should learn the process of nescience and transcendence, but that nescience, the process of nescience, is birth, death, old age, and disease. One should realize the evils of the material world. One should realize how much we're suffering. One should realize the temporary nature of this world, dukalema shashvatam, temporary and full of miseries. Our problem is that we still think that we're going to be happy here. We're encaged in a body made of blood, pus, stool, urine, etc., which will undoubtedly be destroyed. And we still think that we're going to enjoy in life, and we still chase the objects of the senses. Even in devotional service, we cannot give up this bodily conception of life. It's so strong. So we have to learn the evils of this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, that's named as one of the saintly qualities of the devotee, he who perceives the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. So this, what the Ishopanishad is saying, that one should one should become convinced that this material world is not a nice place to be, not a place for a gentleman. And he has to extricate himself, and that's by transcendental knowledge. So you have to become disgusted with the material world and desirous of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said, we should be pessimistic of the material world and optimistic about the spiritual world. Many times people look at us from the outside, even devotees sometimes, they'll say, oh, this is so pessimistic, how can you always be talking about suffering and tribulation and so many problems? You have to be positive-minded, you have to be happy, you have to see things, everything's good in the world. But that's still being attached to the material world. We have to see the reality. The reality is that we're in a very precarious position. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Every step, it's full of danger. Just recently we had a devotee who suffered a great problem. And he was with his hip. Such a nice devotee, but that material world is designed like this. Everybody suffers. Even the Pandavas. The Pandavas were the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna. They were his cousins. They were his best friends. They would eat with him. They would joke with him. They would do all these things. The closest associates of Krishna, and they suffered more than anybody. Of course, this is considered Leela, so the Lord shows through the Pandavas that how to act under tribulation, but everybody must suffer. We can't try to avoid it. Oh, why does Krishna do these things to me? Why do good things happen to bad people? No, we can't take that mentality because that will only make us stagnant in getting out of the material world. It won't help us. So that's knowledge. That's the knowledge that we have to develop. We have to be convinced of these things. And full knowledge, how one attains full knowledge, then that's through reading Srila Prabhupada's books. This is our magnificent fortune. We've been given full knowledge in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's absolutely magnanimous. How we can just read these books and go back to Godhead at the end of life. We don't need to do any other endeavors. We don't need to read any other books. All we do have to do is read these books, and that's full knowledge. We're the most fortunate people on the Earth planet. This is a fact. We're so fortunate to have these gifts. Srila Prabhupada was given such a gift. It's inconceivable trying to think about how a person can give something so essential, something so needed, something so perfect, right? So I'll conclude. My concluding point is that the perfection of knowledge is devotional service, of course. And devotional service is the focal point. But along with devotional service, we also have to have knowledge of vidya and avidya. That's as the Sri Upanishad says. And we can get this knowledge from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And the process, reading Srila Prabhupada's books itself is devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam. So the combination of these two things will make our life very easy in devotional service, and we'll attain the desired result, which is freedom from material desires and pure development of pure love of Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Mother Vishakha? Right. The question or comment, or you want me to elaborate, that many devotees in the ISKCON movement have very knowledgeable, very scholarly, but still they've been swept away by Maya. So that's why this verse says, Jana yashu vairagyam gyanam chayara hoitagam. So vairagya and gyanam. So one can be very knowledgeable, but if he's not renouncing the fruits of his action, then he can't make advancement either. He'll be swept away. Devotional service follows the one who performs devotional service, liberation, bhakti, and mukti, they follow at his feet, wishing to serve him. But if the devotee takes advantage of that, then immediately he'll fall down, because that's not pure devotional service. That's again coming into the material consciousness. So yes, even you have full knowledge, if you can't renounce the fruits of your action, then you'll be swept away by Maya. So at the same time of performing devotional service and being very knowledgeable, you have to also be renounced. You have to also control the senses. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. Our bhakti shastri students should know this one. One should control the urges of the speech, mind, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, of anger, jiva vegam, the desires of the tongue, udara vastha vegam, and the belly and genitals. If one can control these things, then he'll be safe. But that renunciation alone isn't enough as well. So it's these three things. It's like a camera has a tripod, right? Three legs are considered very strong. You have two legs, it'll wobble. One leg, of course, it'll just fall over. But three legs are considered very strong. So devotional service, renunciation, and knowledge. Is that enough? Krishna's verse. Yeah, that's as soon as we perform devotional service and sincerity, then Krishna gives us mercy. Yeah, that's the key element, of course. No matter what we try to do, we can't make advancement. The Vallabha Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami and Vallabhacharya, they follow what's called the Pushti Marg. Pushti means mercy or benevolence. Or dependence, like that. So then, that's their main doctrine, that we can try whatever we want, but we won't get the mercy. We won't advance unless we get the mercy of Krishna. Sure. Thank you, Mother. Something? Yes, Fru.
I was thinking, is it enough to have a certain understanding of the scriptures and realizations, and not
the question is it important to be able to quote Shastra, speak the Sanskrit verses, or is it just good to have the understanding, the knowledge itself? Well, the whole point of quoting verses is that you have the pure knowledge itself. Unfortunately for us, we're contaminated by four defects. So our tendency to commit mistakes is that we'll read something in Shastra and we'll mistake it for something else. Or we forget parts of the quote and we take it out of context. Or we think that we've heard something, but you're not really so sure. So you have to be completely convinced. You have to be 100% sure of what you're saying. And that's why knowledge of the Shastra is needed. Because unless you have knowledge of the Shastra, you can't know things for certain. Right? You can't have 100% faith in something unless it's actually true. Me and Bhakta Richard were talking about this last night. You can't be faithful to something which is unreal. You may try to be, and in Maya you can be in some kind of faithfulness and dedication, but it'll be flickering, chanchala. It's here today, gone tomorrow. So knowledge of the Shastra, that's, you have to memorize the Shastra, you have to know these books. Prabhupada said, you have to know my books like a lawyer knows the law books. And that's quite it's quite a tall order, Prabhupada said. But nonetheless, for a preacher, this is what's needed. Otherwise, how will you be able to preach with full conviction? The Ramanujacharya, of course, at his time, I read a book on Ramanujacharya, and the devotees at that time, they're so learned. Thousands of verses they knew. Like, Ramanujacharya would go to different teachers, and they would teach him different prayers by the Alwars, or this Shastra, or that Shastra. So one Alwar, he wrote 5,000 verses. And so Ramanujacharya went to one teacher, and he taught him 4,000 verses. Like that, you know, some few, 6 months, 1 year. Of course, he's an incarnation of Lord Balaram Lakshman, but still, the point is that we should endeavor a little bit to gain this knowledge. It might not be that we can remember the Sanskrit verses. Although I used to think I couldn't remember Sanskrit verses, but after practice it happens. But we have to be sure about what we're reading. We can't just say, oh yeah, I think I read it here. I don't know where it is, but I think I read it somewhere. You know, if you say that, it's just, you know, it's like a straw man argument, just slap it over and it's no more. Your arguments is no more. Like that. So we should have conviction in what we're saying. We should be sure about it. That? Something else?
Study a lot of books, but unless you don't arrive to this conclusion that Krishna is God and all of his servants, it's like, it's okay, it's knowledge, but the knowledge, the truth, where is the truth? The truth is that Krishna is God and we're his servants. So there's different approaches to that. Also, there's different rasas in connection with Krishna. There's a Shanta rasa, for example, is a person who approached by knowledge. Yeah, they want to know about God, but they don't believe that God had a personality form. Then there's the one who wants to serve God. Then it's the one who wants to be friend of God. This is from the spiritual world. Here in this material world, we can serve God this way. But it's that the thing I want to say is that we have to arrive to this conclusion. Otherwise, we can read a million books. And if we don't arrive to this conclusion, it's like, yeah, this knowledge is good, but still, there's no conclusion. You need to have a conclusion. Sure. Because you keep on going life and lifetimes.
Yeah, first of all, the Shantaras, they have a conception of the personality of Godhead. The Shantaras is described like those are the cows in the spiritual world, or the creepers, and they all know about Krishna as a person, so, yeah, they have a conception of the personality of Godhead. Anyways, but on your comment, that's what I mentioned in the class, that one can go to college and he can study so many things, industry and business and all these material subject matters, and you can get so much knowledge, but this is only material knowledge which will end with the body. The transcendental knowledge, that's of the reality. So the reality of the material world and the reality of the spiritual world, the reality of ourselves. So that's the conclusion. Yes, Mother Vino Manji. Of course. I mean, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states, actually, I don't know that verse. I should learn that verse, but anyways. That one who studies this Bhagavad Gita, this conversation between me and you, Arjuna, he worships me by his intelligence. Right? So it's described in Bhagavad Gita that lust, the sitting places of lust are within intelligence, the mind and the senses. So we have to purify the intelligence. And this studying the Shastra, memorizing Shastra, that's purifying. So learning these verses, it's Krishna consciousness, Shravanam Kirtanam. Kirtan, you chant these verses, Shravanam, you hear the verses. This is all wanted. This is all good for devotional service. Any last comments? Thank you all for listening. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.